my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Dave Kluge, and I have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 401 of the TradeX podcast, where even though the network went away, the dApp is always here to stay. Drop a dApp, Dave. Come on. Yeah. And as you heard today, we have another... we are friends of football guys, apparently, recently, because we have another football guy joining us today. It's been too long, Dave. We have Dave Kluge joining us. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. Just wrapped up a Football Guys recording with Jeff Bell. We were doing every week. We've been kind of diving into a different position, and today was wide receivers. Not a ton of marquee free agents, but once you start looking at the contracts and the guys who could potentially be getting released this offseason, then all of a sudden it is a very deep wide receiver class. Yes. So lots of fun stuff to talk about.
Not to tease it too much, did you talk A.J. Brown as a person who would move?
We did, yes. We talked about A.J. Brown as a potential move. We talked about D.J. Moore as a potential trade candidate, Brian Thomas Jr., and then looking at the releases, Tyreek Hill, Michael Pittman, Calvin Ridley, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, Darnell Mooney, Stephon Diggs, Brandon Ayuk. So there are, you know, you look at the free agent list on Spotrac, and it might not look too good, but once players start getting released, all of a sudden there could be some talent out there.
Yeah. So in case people live under a rock and don't know who you are, can you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yes, I am Dave Kluge over at Football Guys. I've been there for 5 seasons now. All of my content is exclusively over there. I host the Football Guys Fantasy Football Show. I host the Football Guys Dynasty Show. I host my solo show, The Launchpad, and then just a ton of writing. The big thing we're working on right now at Football Guys is our rookie draft guide. We'll have version 1 coming out in just about 2 weeks. So have been splitting that up among the team. I'm covering the running backs this year. So if there's anything you want to know about any incoming running back, I am your guy.
I think we're going to touch on running backs later because someone did ask a question starting to talk rookies. So I can tell you are very ahead of Rocky and I in terms of our rookie. So we get to that usually in a couple weeks. But before we move on, it's been a while since you've been on. We normally do the interview for first-time guests, but we won't do the full one. But one thing, what's a guiding principle you have in trading, in fantasy?
Don't try to win the trade. And I know that sounds like so silly, but people try so hard to just squeeze every little bit of value out. And it's like, I wanted to make this trade, but I couldn't get that third round pick in return. Sometimes the trade calculator is going to lead you astray. And sure, we love when you can win a trade and get more of the value, but sometimes, especially in season, if you're a contending team, you just need to lose a trade to get a piece that will help you. So I think so many people are afraid of losing a trade because it's going to get screenshotted and they're going to get made fun of on Twitter or whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, you have to make trades that make sense for your team, even if that means losing out on a little bit of value.
Absolutely. Rocky, actually, I don't remember this. Do you believe in trade calculators? It's like a tiebreaker, right?
Yeah, I don't really use them, but I don't have a problem with them. I don't, like I said, I don't really have it. I think I might still have a subscription to DTC, but I can't remember the last time I used it.
Yeah.
I'll say I love when somebody sends me a screenshot from a trade calculator saying like, well, you know, this shows that it's fair, because then what I'm going to do is go on that website, find the values that I disagree with and then start sending, knowing that like, this is how you're making trades. Okay, cool. I'm going to leverage that against you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking the only time I really use them is if I want to double check myself. I'm like, am I asking for too much here? That's kind of the only time I really use them.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's get to the news, and we'll start with the big news, the most fantasy relevant, in my opinion, over the last week, and it happened about 15 minutes before we turned the mics on. Mike McDaniels to the Chargers as the OC, and holy cow, the Chargers fans are pumped if you just scroll Twitter for all 5 seconds. So, Dave, you just talked about him on your other show, but what do you think about Mike McDaniel to the Chargers? What's it mean for Ladd and Quentin Johnston, for Herbert, for Hampton? What do you think about all that?
Well, they've got so many young pieces there, and we know that Keenan Allen was there this year, but if you kind of look at what Keenan Allen did, he was kind of like an on-field coach more than anything else. The majority of his games, he was playing less than 60% of the snaps. I mean, he was just kind of out there kind of helping these young guys get situated. So whether he comes back or not, there are so many young, fun pieces that are part of this offense. So I understand why McDaniel was drawn there. We didn't really see it all come together this year with Joe Alt's injury and Rashawn Slater's injury, but with those two bookend tackles back next year, with the backfield that they have anchored by Omari Hampton, and then all of these young guys. Of course, Ladd McConkey, we know that he is going to be much more involved as kind of that move piece that's going to play inside and outside. He can play deep. He can make plays after the catch. But I think this also opens up some exciting opportunities for Terrence Ferguson, Aronde Gadsden, yep, who we saw last year. We saw this kind of explosion over like a three-game sample where he was just getting matchups against linebackers. But as the season progressed, they started putting cornerbacks on him and he couldn't really shake them. So we know a big part of Mike McDaniel offense is the pre-snap motion to get these mismatches for tight ends. So we saw it with Jonnu Smith 2 years ago. We saw it with Darren Waller this year. I think this puts a lot of helium back into Aronde Gadsden, who had kind of cooled off at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Rocky, what do you think?
I think I'm very disappointed he did not go to the Eagles, but
other than that,
I had the same thought about the tight ends. Cause like Dave said, we've seen it multiple times now in Miami. It's pretty exciting. I think especially like we saw what he did with Tua. I believe Tua led the league in passing yards 1 year under,
I think. At least. Yep.
And Justin Herbert has much more raw talent than Tua does. So, I'm super excited about this. I think Dinah Stud had a question about how none of the signings were exciting or whatever. Now we finally got one that is exciting. So I think this is like a perfect marriage of OC and team here.
And maybe this is me just getting like blinded by the young guys, but Trey Harris was a prospect that I really liked. And we saw little flashes here and there his rookie season. But one of the things I liked about Trey Harris so much at Ole Miss, he graded out as one of the best run blocking and pass blocking wide receivers in the NCAA. So that is also a big part of this Shanahanian tree that Mike McDaniel is going to try to instill here. So Trey Harris, his blocking is going to get him on the field. Blocking turns into routes, routes turn into targets, targets turn into fantasy points. So like we said, Keenan Allen was there just enough to kind of put a cap on some of these young players, but assuming he's not a part anymore, Gadsden, Trey Harris, some of these young, exciting players, Keandre Lambert-Smith possibly, now are guys that we can feel a little bit better about.
Yeah. Gosh, remember KLS for like that first week right after preseason? Everyone was like excited he was going to be wide receiver 2 over Quentin Johnston. That was fun for all the week. Dave, you actually talked about him on your running back show. I did my research leading up to this show. Najee Harris potentially coming back. Does this – McDaniel doesn't love workhorses, right? Achan was kind of a gadget player, but he had Ollie Gordon. He had I'm blanking on the other one right now, but do you think now this means more now than ever that Harris comes back, or are we just going to rely on Vidal as a backup and let's move along?
I think Harris is very much so gone. Najee Harris is not the type of running back that Mike McDaniel likes. And I think that we'll still see Omari Hampton as the lead guy, but he does like to have the speed back. So, looking at like Desmond Reed, potentially some of these incoming rookies, that might be a little bit more McDaniel's flavor. As we, when I was talking about this at first, when I thought Najee Harris would come back to the Chargers, I was expecting it to be a very similar offense to last year, where if you look that backfield, every single running back there, Omari Hampton, I forget who else it was. Raheem Sanders was there for a minute, and then there was another one. In addition to Najee Harris, they were all 225-plus pounds because we know that is the offense that they wanted to run there. Very different now with Mike
Hassan Daniel. Haskins. That was the other
Hassan
one.
Hassan Haskins, yes. Yeah. That's the other one. So all these big boys, like that's the type of running backs that they like there under Harbaugh. But I think McDaniel is going to try to get some speed here where he can stretch defenses horizontally. So could be one of the incoming rookies, could potentially, I don't think Kamani Vidal has quite the speed that they want. Jalen Wright was the other running back in Miami.
That's it.
Guy who just hasn't really found his footing there. So wouldn't surprise me if they work out some sort of cheap deal to maybe even bring Jalen Wright in to be that change of pace guy behind Hampton.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, let's get to the other coach moves. I kind of bucketed all these together because they either happened a while ago or they weren't as big as McDaniel. So McDermott was fired. Also means Joe Brady is a free agent, technically. Dable seems to be the favorite right now, but there's no odds out there right now. John Harbaugh to the Giants, literally like 5 seconds after we finished recording last week, which, of course, that happened. Monken is going to be his OC. There's rumors he's targeting ex-Ravens, so maybe likely is a Giant next year, and Linderbaum is another one they've pointed to. Stefanski to the Falcons on a 5-year deal. Bill Callahan will remain his offensive line coach, which everyone is saying is a big deal, so I put that on there. Drew Petzing to the Lions as offensive coordinator. I don't love that one, but we'll get to that. Jeff Hafley to the Dolphins. I noticed this. Someone pointed this out. Both the GM and the head coach came from Green Bay, and Malik Willis is a free agent. So interesting ties. LaFleur was extended. Robert Saleh to the Titans. I just said yuck. Maybe he brings Mike LaFleur with him again. Eric Bieniemy back to the Chiefs as OC. It's always going to be Reed's offense. He calls the plays, but this now means maybe Nagy's somewhere else. And Dynasted actually had a good way of kind of tying this all together. So so far we have 4 head coach signings and 1 OC signing, and no one seems very excited about any of them for fantasy. Are you? If so, and why, Dave?
You know, I'm kind of excited about what the Giants did. And I know like Harbaugh isn't the sexiest name, but I'm still a believer in Monken. And I just don't know if Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback to run a Todd Monken offense. Now, there's a lot of Lamar Jackson in Jackson Dart. But when I start looking at some of the tight ends here, Theo Johnson came on really strongly last year. And I don't think people really even noticed that. Daniel Bellinger dealt with a lot of injuries throughout the season, but he's a guy who has shown flashes as well. And if you look back to how Monken was operating when he was in Georgia, the coach there, he loved these big, heavy, two tight end, heavy sets. And we see a lot of NFL teams are pushing in that direction now. So they talked about bringing some of the Baltimore guys over. You talked about Isaiah Likely. I think Pat Ricard could also be a guy there. But when you look at a running quarterback like Jackson Dart, you look at Scadabo and Tyrone Tracy in the backfield, you look at the tight ends they already have, potentially adding Likely and Ricard into that mix as well. I can see them going for this very jumbo heavy personnel that Monken really likes to do, where they had to kind of try with Lamar Jackson to stretch things out a little bit and make it a different offense than what Monken is really comfortable running.
Right. Was that you who tweeted the Scadabo and Ricard? It's like the scariest backfield.
I mean, I wouldn't want to defend it.
Rocky, do you have a favorite of any of these?
I mean, I guess for fantasy, Stefanski sticks out to me. He's an offensive guy. I believe Pitts is a free agent. Yes. But if he were to stay, that would be interesting because we've seen, you know, Fannin developed under him really quickly this past year. And
he had Njoku, too, by the way,
yeah,
who's a free agent. So,
oh, there you go. Maybe he comes over then. But yeah, so I think for fantasy, that's the most interesting one for me. I think, obviously, they need to figure out the quarterback position. I have no idea what they're going to do there. Because I'm not a huge fan of Michael Penix at this point. But, yeah. So it's all going to hinge on the quarterback. But hopefully they can get that figured out.
Kirk Cousins is still under contract.
That was my question. Does this mean Cousins is staying now? Because he kind of fits Stefanski's system a little bit more than Penix does.
Yeah, I mean, he was with them together when they were in Minnesota, so that is my full expectation, especially, you know, coming back from the late season knee injuries. Like, Penix might not be physically ready in week one, so you get Kirk Cousins already knowing the playbook. He'll be the guy during all of training camp. I would be shocked if Kirk Cousins isn't the week one quarterback for the Falcons.
And I'm the biggest Kirk Cousins guy out there. I know he had some late season success. I still feel like he's kind of washed, but we'll see how it works with Stefanski there.
Rocky's the only guy buying Kirk Cousins in Dynasty, which is funny. I like that. If I were to make a case for Petzing, and this is what the Twitter case is right now, is that he made McBride look really good. He had a good offense with Brissett. He will have the best quarterback he's ever had, I guess. But, like, I'm just scared of this very plodding offense that Detroit could have. And that would scare me as a JMO owner. Like, if he's going to be kind of, we're going to throw a lot of slants and a lot of tight end stuff. And JMO doesn't do that. So that would scare me a lot, unless Campbell's going to have his fingerprints on this offense more than we think. So I don't really know who else. I mean, the Dolphins and the Titans, we'll see, but if it's Willis, that's a very interesting offense in Miami because that's a very athletic offense.
I think we could at least get even like we weren't already super excited about Jahmyr Gibbs. This just moves Jahmyr Gibbs higher up the rankings.
Is he RB1 now?
Goes from RB1 to like RB.5 at this point.
I was going to say, do you have him or Bijan as your one?
I have Gibbs as my one. Okay.
I called this the secondary news. This is basically non-coach stuff. Charbonnet had a significant knee injury. We'll get to Walker and another listener question later. Bo Nix fractured ankle, obviously sucks for the playoffs, but he's going to be ready for next year for Dynasty, so don't worry about him. D'Amico Ryan said he isn't sure if Joe Mixon will remain with the team, and then Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union thinks ETN is unlikely to be with the Jaguars in 2026, so all aboard the Tootin' train. So, any notes on that before we go to offseason questions?
I think the main takeaway from the Charbonnet injury is there's so much talk about how Charbonnet could be that three down back for them and that he was going to get the keys going into 2026, but he's not going to be ready for week one. So my expectation is that Kenneth Walker is either brought back on a franchise tag or some sort of short-term contract, but all of the hopes of a blackjack split where we'd get Charbonnet being the lead back in one team and Kenneth Walker on the other team. I think we're going to look at Kenneth Walker having the backfield to himself, Charbonnet returning midseason, and then both of them just in this frustrating split over the second half of the year again.
Just in time for the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah. My dream of Ken Walker to the Bears is probably dead, but
yeah,
I hope not. All right. So Dave, we've been doing this over the last couple of weeks on the show, going through a division or two, just talking about the four teams, offseason questions. It can be a question, can be believe or not. So we have five divisions left. You can pick whichever one. And we have the NFC West, the NFC South, the AFC North, the AFC West, and the AFC South. Which division you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the NFC West. That's always a fun
division. NFC West. All right. For the San Francisco 49ers, so this is either going to be a question or a statement, like a believe it or not, like I believe this or I don't type thing. So we'll start with the Niners. Who is the number one pass catcher in 2026? Is he on the team?
For the 49ers, the number one pass catcher? Oh, I want to say Ricky Pearsall, but my goodness.
A lot of man, people do. Just,
I would love if it's Ricky Pearsall. My my boring answer is Juwan Jennings. I think that he means so much to this team. I think that with Brandon Ayuk likely gone, they want to bring in a guy who has familiarity with the offense. So as much as I would love Ricky Pearsall to take that step forward, you just can't ignore the health at this point. Juwan Jennings is technically a free agent at this point, but I think they'll probably bring him back and he'll be the lead receiver again.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
I think if he's healthy, I do really think I think there's a very real chance he is. I mean, I'm sure they're going to bring somebody in either through free agency or the draft or both. But I liked what I've seen out of him when he has been on the field. It's just like you said, it's like every other game something's happening. Like he'll be out for three games, come back in, and then a game later he's going back out again. So I choose to believe, you know, everyone wants to say injury prone is not a thing. So he's injury prone until he's not. So I'm going to choose to believe next year he'll be healthy.
Maybe what they need to bring in somebody from outside that hasn't spent years next to that electric substation. Maybe that's the trick.
I was going to say that. I'll take the mystery box. And I'll just say, I'll make up a couple hypotheticals. What if Njoku's the tight end that replaces Kittle? Or what if Keenan Allen is a wide receiver in San Francisco because he can run routes and Shanahan loves those type of people? Or I do think it's probably Juwan Jennings, but if I wanted to come up with a couple of fun names, Pickens, can they afford him if they get rid of Ayuk? So I don't know. But I hesitate to believe he's on the team, because my easy cop-out answer is Juwan Jennings is not on the team right now. So I can say that. So, okay.
other interesting name as a Bears fan? What would you think about DJ Moore, you know, kind of playing in like a Debo-esque type of role for the 49ers?
I would love that. I'm so scared he makes too much money and they're just not going to be able to get rid of him because he has like a $26 million cap hit next year or something ridiculous. Yep. So, this is funny. I wrote these a while ago. I have to flip this around now because I said what running back, how high ranked is Charbonnet if Walker walks. All right, we'll circle back to that. Let's circle back to that. In the non-point scoring season for the Rams, would you rather have Davante Adams or Kyren Williams?
Kyren Williams. I think Kyren Williams, yeah. I also don't know, you know, looking at Davante Adams' contract, they could save like $14 million if they move on from him. Obviously, he's a very important piece of this offense. He kind of unlocks everything else, but I'm one of the biggest Blake Corum fans out there. Like, I want him to take over this backfield, but they paid Kyren a lot of money. He's still going to be there next year. I expect him to maintain his role as the RB1.
I don't have much to add to that. I think Adams is between age and the fact that he's not guaranteed to be there. I think I don't think either is going to have a ton of value for you. Moving them could be cheap to acquire either one, but yeah, I don't think Kyren Skelly, there has been a lot of Blake Corum over the second half of the season. So I'm not really confident in either, but if you're making me pick between the two, I'll go Kyren Williams.
And there hasn't been a lot of Blake Corum in the playoffs. And I think that's what we realize is that they value Kyren Williams so much more that they just wanted to keep him especially fresh for the playoffs.
So frustrating. As a guy who had Kyren in a couple of finals, watching him run in for three touchdowns, it's like, now do it.
It's worse. I had Blake Corum in a $350 RotoWire entry, and I was in the money going into Monday Night Football with Blake Corum left to go, and then he got hurt after two touches, and I fell out of the money. And, you know, just like a 10-point game from Blake Corum would have made me a lot of money, and instead I got zero. So, dude. You know, yeah, not fun.
It's the worst. Okay, I came up with a Seahawks question. Is Torrey Horton a buy in the non-point scoring season with Kupp and Shaheed free agents?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll answer that.
What would you pay for him, Dave?
Funny, we just had this conversation on our wide receiver show. I said I would pay a late second for him, and I know that seems a lot for a day three guy, but I really think that Torrey Horton was going to be a big part of this offense, and the only reason they traded for Rashid Shaheed is because he got hurt. And it was kind of before the news came out, so you have to like look back at it with hindsight, but Torrey Horton had picked up this nagging injury. They traded for Rashid Shaheed, and then Torrey Horton hit IR, so I still think that Torrey Horton is the wide receiver two of the future. Big fan of the guy. You know, I lived in Fort Collins when he was playing at Colorado State, so got to watch him in person a few times. Just a really, really fun player. I think that he is absolutely a buy.
I would agree. I mean, if you can get him cheap, I don't mind late second. I'd prefer a third, but I doubt anyone's going to sell him for a third or even multiple thirds. Like you said, day three guy always worries me a little bit. I mean, they could draft another guy on day two this year for all we know. But I did like what we saw of him before the injury happened. They were showing flashes, and I think it would make a lot of sense for him to kind of emerge next year.
Mm-hmm. I think my kind of rule for day three players that I'm willing to target is they need to have, and this sounds like so counterintuitive, but guys who have medical concerns and guys who have character concerns, because those are the day three guys that we see typically exceed their draft capital. Yep. And Torrey Horton had a devastating knee injury his final year of college, and I think that's why he fell to day three. I am of the belief that a fully healthy Torrey Horton without those medical concerns probably would have been around two, maybe around three picks. So he's got the day three draft capital, but I'm willing to put a little asterisk next to that because of the knee injury.
Yeah, I like that. And it, and you know, knock on wood, it seems like Kubiak's kind of falling out of the head coach interviews, so it seems like the Seahawks are going to keep their OC, which is a good thing. So, last one. Who is the number one wide receiver on the Cardinals headed into 2026?
It's got to be Marvin Harrison Jr.
Does it?
Like, it's got to be. Like, even in the games that they played together, like, we saw, like, the two huge games from Michael Wilson, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. came back and retained his spot as the wide receiver one, got hurt again, and then back to Michael Wilson. I think Michael Wilson is a very good football player, but I still think that the ceiling for Marvin Harrison Jr. is just so much higher.
Yeah, it's Marvin Harrison Jr. Even like later in the year when Wilson was still doing well, and I think Harrison was playing some. I'm pretty sure they were limiting his snaps a lot of the time, coming off the injuries and stuff like that. So, I don't see how it cannot be Marvin Harrison Jr. It's not Michael Wilson. Nice little player, but it's not
nice Michael. Little player. The wide receiver 8 or whatever he was over the last half of the season.
Yeah, that was insane, and we'll never see that again.
Probably not.
That's my opinion.
That's fine.
You guys have been playing fantasy football for a long time. You remember like the Blake Bortles garbage time? Yeah. We just relive that with
Alan Hearns, baby.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And he was Alan Hearns this year. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, that was great. Alan Robinson was like wide receiver 3. Yep. All right. Well, we can move on to trades or listener questions. Dave, we usually let the guest choose. Would you like to do trades or listener questions first?
Let's do listener questions.
Perfect. Starting with Haywood's Almanac from the Pick Is In podcast. Everyone should go listen. He said, players that balled out in the playoffs, what are their values next year, like Kyren Williams or Ken Walker? So we can do Kyren first. Dave, what would you trade for Kyren Williams? I think that's the best way of thinking about it as opposed to trying to rank him.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I am not acquiring Kyren Williams in trades because I think that people are just asking more than I'm willing to give up. So I know that's not the answer you want to hear here. Kyren Williams, I think it's a little bit different. Like, saying balled out in the playoffs, because we see these guys that, like Damian Williams a few years ago, right? Like, that was a guy who had done, like, nothing prior in his career up to that moment and then balled out in the playoffs. I think with Kyren Williams, it's a little bit different because we've seen, like, 3 years of production leading up to these playoffs as well. So, you know, like, if I'm desperate for a running back and I'm contending and it's, like, the glaring need on my team, I think you have to be willing to give up, like, a late first if you want Kyren in return. But, I mean, that's a trade that is the fair value, but I'm not making 99 times out of 100.
Rocky and I aren't the biggest Kyren Williams fans, but to call him Damian Williams is so disrespectful.
I was saying he wasn't Damian Williams. I'm just kidding. Because like we do see that, these kind of like, I don't want to say no name guys, but like these guys just pop up in the playoffs every single year, like a Damian Williams.
And Kyren
Williams is a little bit better than that.
Yeah, and Kyren has shown more. Another name that popped into my head, I don't put a lot of stock into balling out in the playoffs. Probably like 6-7 years ago now. So I was all in on Sony Michel because of
the playoff. I thought you were going to say
Gabe Davis. 1 year.
Gabe Davis, yes. That's a perfect example.
But Sony Michel was like a whole playoffs
though. Yes, he was.
Like 7 touchdowns over the course of the play. He was all over the place.
That was his rookie year, I think.
Yeah. And he was a decently touted prospect too, but he was never really all that great after that. I don't put whatever you thought about these guys before the playoffs, I'm not putting a lot of stock just because they bought out of the playoffs. So that's basically my answer. And I agree. I think Dave's right. I think if you want Kyren, you're going to need to spend the late first. And I think I like Kyren more than you, but I'm not really looking to spend the late first on a running back in the non-playoff season.
Would you rather have Kyren or Ken Walker, since they're the two names right next to each other on this question?
I feel like I should say Ken Walker, but I lean Kyren. I've never been a big Ken Walker guy.
I know. I'm looking at the Football Guys rankings. Walker and Kyren are 3 spots apart. Kyren's 14, Walker's 17. I imagine that changes, though. I just want to go down these rankings real fast. Would you rather have Kyren or RJ Harvey? Dave's a Dobbins guy, too. I know that.
I have Harvey 1 spot ahead of Kyren, so I don't know if you're looking at the consensus rankings. I have Ken Walker as my RB 13, and I have Kyren as my RB 16. So I'm one of the few on staff that has that one flip flopped, and then I have RJ Harvey 1 spot ahead of Kyren Williams.
I'm gonna take a cop out answer and say I would take RJ Harvey because I think I can find somebody who loves RJ Harvey.
Yeah.
Not so much with Kyren. So
that's one thing I forgot to mention. Dobbins might play this week and tank RJ Harvey's value.
Really?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
It sounds that I heard that on one of the shows today that Dobbins might show up and play this week. But I have to double check that because everyone seems.
I know you mentioned in the news, but the whole Bo Nix thing is crazy. Like, I was with a bunch of guys watching that game, and then we get an alert on our phones like 10 minutes after the game. No, Knicks will not play next week.
Like, yeah, I had to check. I was like, is this like the Schefter with like the
I know
the one in the name? Like, am I getting cranked right here? I could not believe that happened. Yeah.
Oh, I think he just posted something on his Instagram saying like he might come back this week, but there's no actual. Okay. No one on the staff actually said that. Okay. That would suck, by the way, because that would be a really bad way to tank Harvey's value. And then the other guy kind of in between Kyron and Ken Walker, and obviously this is consensus, is Javonte, Rocky's boy Javonte, who I'm guessing he's taking over Kyron and Ken Walker.
I have Javonte behind both of them.
And I get that. I'm just a Javonte stan, and I think that he should. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, if Pickens goes and then they don't have something like, I think the whole offense helps Javonte Williams. And if it's just CeeDee Lamb and a bunch of guys next year, then that makes me actually like Javonte a little less. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to see how that plays out. And it seems like Pickens is probably gone. But what they bring in to replace him will be interesting.
Yep.
If they run it back, if Javonte signs, which I don't think Jerry Jones will do this, but if Javonte gets a multi-year deal to stay in Dallas, I'll move him up 5-6 spots in my rankings. Right. But I think it's just the uncertainty of like, you know, this was the best case scenario, him having a high powered backfield all to himself. If he lands in a different situation, I get a little bit more nervous about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe Jaden Blue will wear the right cleats and actually play. And then he asks rookies coming out in the NFL draft. So I kind of tweaked his question, but let's just go running back. So who's your favorite rookie running back not named Jeremiah Love? Because he's obviously consensus one.
Yeah, so I think that he is the very obvious one. And then I think the number two for so many people is Jonah Coleman. I think Jonah Coleman is a good running back, but I have really taken a liking to Catron Allen out of Penn State. And there are two very good running backs there. Nick Singleton as well has also been very good. But Catron Allen, I mean, he checks every single box that I like. He's got the size to be a three-down back, listed at 229 pounds, but he's got really quick feet. He can move inside and outside. Also, some good pass-catching chops as well. So we see this so many times, like just last year with Ohio State, where we saw Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, and we kind of felt like we knew that both of these guys were kind of stuck in their roles because that's how they used them at Ohio State. And then we see them come to the pros, and we see these skill sets that were never really on display at Ohio State. And I think that's what Catron Allen can do. He gave up so much of the passing down work to Nick Singleton because he's the smaller scat back in that backfield. But I truly think that Allen can step into an NFL backfield, take it completely to himself. And he's got the profile where he can, you know, grind on early downs, he can score touchdowns, and he can catch passes. So I think he's one of those guys at the combine that's going to surprise a lot of people with the agility drills, the shuttle and that sort of stuff, and really, really start to move up draft boards.
I think he's going to – he's a guy who I've watched a bunch just watching college football, obviously. And I think he's going to surprise some people with a 40. I think he's going to drop like a 4-5 high fours just out of nowhere. So,
and if you do that at 230 pounds, then you get
99%
size adjusted speed, and that's when people really get excited.
Penn State really wasted two good, really good running backs, but that's another conversation for another day. I don't know if Rocky has a rookie that he likes yet. Mine is Casey Concepcion. He's been my guy for the I've loved him since NC State. He had no business doing as well as he did on that team, and he looked really good on Texas A&M this year. So I've always liked Casey Concepcion. I think he's going to be probably one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in this class. So that's been my favorite. Rocky shaking his head no on rookies. So
yeah, at this point in the I don't really watch college much, and at this point in the non-point scoring season, I have not, like we said, you said earlier, I haven't dove in yet. So
yeah. I will say, friend of the show, Zach Reed, I've been talking to him as he's preparing for Dynasty Dummies, and he also loves Catron Allen. So I think there is going to be a lot of very smart people telling us to draft Catron Allen, which means he's going to go way too high.
It happens every single year.
I know, it sucks.
We fall for those day three running backs too, but this is one of those, when you look at a lot of the day three running backs, they're falling to day three for good reason, but they're so many guys that just have like traits that I like. Adam Randall is a 240-pound converted wide receiver who plays running back. Like, to me, that's just like a supersized Cordell Patterson. That's a lot of fun. Desmond Reed is just like this spark plug that could score from anywhere on the field, but he's just like a little bit too small. And then you've got Robert Henry, who like just smashing every statistical record imagine in D2, but it was in D2. So like there's all these guys that have like little red flags, but have very desirable traits. This is one where I'm not crazy about the top end talent outside of Jeremiah Love, but there's a lot of deep running backs, I think, like those third and fourth round picks that'll end up panning out.
There was another guy who, and I'm not going to spend too much time looking for this because I don't want all the dead air, but it was, there was another guy.
Inu is another like late round guy who has been a fun guy to watch.
Emmett Johnson is the other guy that I've heard a lot about. And
out of Nebraska.
Sneaking, sneaking up the board. So, okay, moving on to Dynastad's questions. He said, Kluge's guy, Caleb, is a top blank fantasy QB and a top blank real life QB.
You're not going to like my answer for where I've got Caleb in. No, you're not going to like it because it's probably silly high, but I've got him as my QB5 in Dynasty.
Yes!
And, I had him as my QB6 to start the year and moved him ahead of Patrick Mahomes coming off of the ACL tier. So I'm at the point right now where I have Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams just in a tier behind Allen and Jackson. And we're really splitting hairs between the three. I give the slight edge to May and Daniels, but I've got Caleb Williams as my QB5.
Ahead of Burrow.
Ahead of Burrow, yep.
Wow. I love that so much. Rocky's definitely not going to have him that high, but Rocky, he's 8 on the rankings that I see behind Herbert, Hurts, Burrow, Daniels, Jackson, May, and Allen. Does that sound about right to you?
I would still have Mahomes over him. I know the injury and all that, but I think we've talked about this before. I mean,
would you take your boy Jackson Dart over him?
No, Caleb? No, I can't. I like Dart a lot, but he has not done enough yet. Okay. And Caleb, you know, Caleb's in his second year and greatly improved from year one to year two. So I can't go that far. I'm trying to look at this list on at least the DLF ADP. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence, no.
You have Daniels ahead of him, Dave? Because the one injury and all that?
One spot ahead, yeah. Okay. One spot ahead.
And I actually think I might have him ahead of Daniels at this point for me, just because I'm not sold on Daniels. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm chalking this year up to kind of just a loss year with not just his injury, but like every injury in Washington. We saw the upside for Jaden Daniels, so I'd prefer him. But like I said, like even May, I know people are like trying to push May up to QB1 in their rankings, but like when you're looking at May, Daniels, and Caleb, like they all get there in such different ways, but I think that you're really splitting hairs between those three.
Also, I don't know that I put him over Caleb, but I'm, again, just looking at the ADP, it's in the same range for me. I think Brock Purdy is a little underrated in this ADP. I was just looking on trade addict scoring. He's QB2 in points per game this year. And he did that with
no help.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And as long as he stays in San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan is a magician. So I would have them both like right in the same range for me. It's not like Purdy's, you know, a ton older than Caleb Williams. So,
yeah. It's so funny how the NFL remains undefeated in one thing to me. It's everyone freaks out like Rodgers is leaving, Roethlisberger is leaving, Brady's leaving. Like, where's this next crop of quarterbacks? Well, that didn't take very long. We got May, Daniels, Caleb. We're doing just fine.
And Knicks. I mean, not the same level as them, but yeah, we're going to look back at that
Dart.
2025 NFL draft is just what, and that just the quarterbacks, but like you look at the receivers, the tight ends, like that is a league transforming draft right there.
Yeah. I want to talk about this. It's not in the questions or anything. Although I think there's a trade. We're going to save it. There's a trade on him later. Never mind. If Sam Darnold wins a Super Bowl and is named Super Bowl MVP, he will be QB blank in Dynasty.
I reject the premise. I refuse to believe Sam Darnold will win a Super Bowl.
I think the Rams.
I actually see it in front of my own two eyes.
Yeah. He's going to win a Super Bowl with 8.2 fantasy points.
Yes.
For me, I don't think it changes his dynasty rank at all. I think he's good for him. Happy story. He stopped seeing ghosts. What a retribution, but fantasy is the same.
I will say I think I'm ahead of consensus on my Sam Darnold ranking, but like when you start looking at the other guys in that range, like I just don't know how you can get him higher than like QB 15. And I've got him at QB 16. And when I look at the guys that I have ahead of him, I just can't get him ahead of Jordan Love, Bo Nix, Baker Mayfield, Brock Purdy, Jackson Dart, all the other guys that we've just talked mm-hmm. about. It's just like I'm happy that he is resuscitating his career, but this offense in Seattle is so predicated on just bleeding the clock with the run game and playing tough defense that it doesn't really help Sam Darnold all that much from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a better real life story.
Right. Going back to that points per game I already have up on my screen, he was QB 24 in the fantasy season. So in terms of production, and I think he could throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns in winning that Super Bowl. That won't ever happen. But I think if he does that, I don't think it changes his value one bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's a fun real life story, but it doesn't change much for fantasy. Okay. He says, for each of the past 3 to 4 years, Kyle Pitts owners have been wishing on a better free agent destination for him. Now his free agency is here. How many great destinations do you even see for him? So now I have to pull up the teams because I don't remember the teams.
I think he's just going to not be fun and re-sign with Atlanta. I think that like after they held him for the entire length of his rookie deal and then they finally see him break out over the last 4 weeks, I don't think they're going to let him walk right now. I think they're going to bring him back and he's just going to be that long-term secondary passer behind Drake London.
And like I said, I like Atlanta as a spot for him if he can get decent quarterbacking.
Right. Yeah.
Again, the coach lines up as a good coach to develop tight ends, to have tight ends produce. So I don't have any others off the top of my head. Did you find anything? I know you said you were.
I mean, the top three cap spaces are Tennessee, Vegas, and the Jets. I don't want him to go to any of those. Like, keep him away from all of those. Seattle, Washington. Washington wouldn't be uninteresting if they can figure out how to scheme him, but
you said Vegas. That would be a nightmare scenario.
That would be a nightmare.
Oh my gosh. You take Kyle.
They'd have to hire Todd Monken as their OC.
But I mean, we saw what Stefanski just did, like what he has done over the years with Njoku, what he did last year with Harold Fannin. I think that keeping him in Atlanta, we can see, like, you know, we've been saying it. It's a definition of insanity doing the same thing every year, but this could be the year Kyle Pitts finally puts it together.
And we're recording one day after the national championship. I think we know who's going number one to Vegas. So, I think that was pretty solidified last night with Mark Davis in the building. I don't know where the right place for him is. I think Rocky, sorry, it's probably Atlanta, but I'm staring at all these other teams. Like, does New England do anything for anybody with just a better Hunter Henry? But he's just, no. So, Pittsburgh.
They paid $50 million to Jonnu Smith and then didn't even use him. Like, if Kyle Pitts signs a big contract with the Patriots, it would not get me excited.
Yeah. Different regime, but yeah. Yeah, no. By the way, is Vegas like the quietest head coaching interview cycle we've ever had? I don't even know who they're talking to. Like, it's like they said, like, Averro has had his second interview today. I'm like, I didn't know he had his first interview. So it's just, it's the quietest head coaching search ever. Okay. Last one. He was saying this as a Chargers question, but then McDaniel happened. So I just kind of tweaked this. Any other buy low teams you're targeting this offseason? So his point was the Chargers are lower because the tackles got hurt, but now it's time to buy. So, Dave, is there a team you're staring at that's the market's kind of low on and you're like, I can get some value here?
I love this question so much. I just want to say, like, this is like, I think the key to doing well in fantasy on any given season is being able to identify these teams that everybody is just out on. And I felt like I struck gold a few years ago, CJ Stroud's rookie season, when I was like, I'm just going to draft Nico Collins and Tank Dell and CJ Stroud at the end of all of my drafts. And it worked out really well for me. Going into last year, the team that I was very in on was the Jacksonville Jaguars. And unfortunately, that meant that I acquired some Brian Thomas Jr., but also acquired a lot of Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. And that worked out for me. And I think one of the teams this year that's going to fly under the radar that can end up being very good for fantasy is the New Orleans Saints. Tyler Shuck, I don't think that he's a guy that you want to see for the next, you know, 10 years being your franchise quarterback, but he has a gunslinger mentality, and that's what we like for fantasy football. Chris Olave finally broke out. I think that he is just a wildly talented wide receiver that was just hamstrung by Derek Carr for years. I don't know what they're going to do at running back. Devin Neal impressed me a lot more than he did at Kansas, so was happy to see Devin Neal kind of put it together. But when I see them picking inside the top 10, they are a prime team that could end up with Jeremiah Love. So if you're looking at a Tyler Shuck led offense throwing balls to Juwan Johnson, Chris Olave, and Jeremiah Love, that could be a pretty consolidated offense that could end up being very prolific in fantasy.
Is the Commanders too easy? Because Jaden Daniels can just come back and fix all of this again.
But like, I think that's kind of like the post-hype sleeper. Like,
Minnesota feels like the same thing, right? I mean, just if McCarthy or Aaron Rodgers to finish the Brett Favre cycle comes in. I mean, Indianapolis with Daniel Jones, it's all kind of the same narrative, though. They're just all going to get their quarterback back. So,
and I think you got to like really look off the beaten path for these. Like I think a lot people are still going to be drafting Justin Jefferson and Jaden Daniels and those guys. Mm-hmm. The other one, like I can't even try to pontificate about what direction they're going to go, but I am still a believer in Cam Ward, and Tennessee Titans have over $100 million in salary cap. They've got draft picks as well. So I don't know what the plan is for Tennessee, but I think they're one of those teams that people have just already written off for dead. Cam Ward's a bust. The Tennessee Titans are the Tennessee Titans, but they've got some money to play with and a new coach there. And that's a team that if they make the right moves, I could see myself buying into.
Rocky, do you have anyone?
You mentioned the main one. I was trying to look at all the teams and pick one, and the Vikings are the one that stuck out to me. Like you said, Justin Jefferson, though, it's not like people are going to just forget about Justin Jefferson.
Right.
But I do think if they get competent quarterbacking, some of the other pieces could perk back up. I'm hoping they bring in competition at least for JJ McCarthy of some sort, because we didn't like him coming in and we don't like him now. So I think the Vikings is the one that sticks out for me. But like Dave said, it's just so some of those pieces are pretty highly regarded already, even with JJ McCarthy at quarterback.
Ask me this question again in June once we've gotten through the free agency. It's tough to answer right now, but this is like my favorite thing to do post free agency is just kind of go through every roster with a fine tooth comb and kind of see which teams I think are going to be better than the market thinks.
Yeah. Here's a quick one. What about Vegas?
Yeah.
Genty, right? Bowers.
Yeah.
I know they're still kind of seen as something a lot better than like the rest of the team, but Jack Besh or, you know, insert wide receiver here, they're probably going to draft one. So
with how weak this wide receiver free agency class is and knowing the Raiders, knowing what they like in speed, they're probably going to give Rashid Shaheed like $60 million this
offseason. Oh, I thought you were going to say George Pickens.
I think George Pickens probably gets franchise tagged by the Cowboys, but there are some fun young pieces too. Like Jack Besh, we didn't really see him coming to a full-time role until late in the season, but like I'm still keeping a light on for Jack Besh. And if Mendoza can be half the player he was in college, that could be a fun team too.
Yeah. I guess one other one I was just looking at, just trying to scope through the teams. It made the Buccaneers, like everyone on that team was hurt essentially. Godwin, like in terms of like just production, not dynasty value, but like Godwin, you know, a full year off of the injury, I could see. I'm not sure what Mike Evans' contract situation is, but
he's a free agent, but he'll go back.
Yeah, maybe. For the first time. Bucky's value may have taken a little hit with how much he was out this year. Buka trailed off at the end of the year, but I still like him a lot. So I think there's value to be mined there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and White's a free agent, I believe. So Tucker's
and still Sean Tucker.
Oh, he's is a, he? He's a free Tucker's agent.
He's a restricted free agent, so they can kind of call the shots there. But Bucky might get the backfield to himself next year.
Yeah.
The king of the TD vultures, Sean Tucker. Yeah, literally.
Stupid contract question, and I don't know if you guys know this. If they franchise tag someone, no one can sign them, right? It's not like where if I offer a franchise tag of $8 million, the Seahawks can't come in for $10 million, right? That's not a thing. Right.
So the franchise tag, it's predetermined. It's the average of the top five of the position, so it changes every year. So I was just looking like the franchise tag for a wide receiver this year because I was looking George Pickens. If they franchise tag George Pickens, they owe him $28.1 million, which is the average of the top five.
See, how do they do that? I don't understand how they have to figure out how to pay Javonte unless they're just going to not do that. They have Dak for $1 trillion and they have Lamb already. I just don't know how they're going to pay Pickens $28 million, but they seem to continue to figure this out. So, okay. Let's move into trades. Treyarch leagues are 12 teams, Superflex, PPR, Titan Premium with 1.75 per Titan reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1 because they never break, they always hold, and we don't have any TA1 trades, so it doesn't matter. TA2, Jackson Dart, Sam Laporta, 27 second for Brock Purdy, Rome Odunze, and a 27 first. Wow. Tight end premium, Dave. So
I'm taking the Purdy Odunze first side pretty easily here. I have Purdy ahead of Dart in my rankings, which I don't think that's the consensus take, but Rocky, you were talking earlier about how much you like, well, I know you like Purdy and Dart, so I don't know how you feel about that take, I think Purdy is very, very underrated. So I take the Purdy side here and just hope, if I'm making that trade, that Adunze's fall off was based on the stress fracture in his foot and not him just turning into a pumpkin.
He did say that the foot was bothering him a bunch this season, that he was kind of
made it really tough to catch touchdowns in the playoffs that were put right in his chest.
Yeah. It's funny for longtime listeners of this podcast, because a few years back, I was much more of a Purdy detractor, but things have swung the other way for me. I think he's gone from, like, I didn't love him when he came in, but he's too underrated at this point for what he's producing there. And I agree totally. This is easily the Brock Purdy Odunze first. Like, I borderline like every piece on that side more than the other piece. I'm trying to think of the right word, but the connecting.
You like all the parts, on top of the
like the way we have like the quarterback. Yeah, the only one that's close is. Well, I guess, like I said, I like Dart, but I think Purdy's easily over Dart for me at this point until Dart does it, you know, a full year and shows a little more than he has already. But Laporta Dunze is the only one that's even close for me, especially with the 1.75 tight end premium. But even then, I think I lean Odunze. So
this is, I almost feel like the first and the second should be flipped. Like the first is on the wrong side, it feels like.
I agree with that. Definitely, yes.
Yes.
But I've been a Laporta detractor. Like, I immediately coming out of his rookie season, I was like, these are all touchdowns, and that is very unsustainable. And now coming off this back injury, like, you know, I think it was Matt Harmon that said, you've never heard somebody say, I used to have a bad back. Like, if you have a bad back, you got a bad back for the rest of your life. I'm hoping he can bounce back. He's still young, but like that's a tough injury to come back from.
Yeah. This is someone who either believes a lot more in Dart than consensus or believes less in Odunze by a lot than consensus. That's kind of the only way you can sell this.
Yeah.
Because I agree with the two of you. Purdy and Dart is probably a wash with you know, slight edge to Purdy. And Dave, for context, when Rocky was a detractor, our very first podcast argument when I was still a chatter was Trey Lance versus Purdy. So that he was always a Trey Lance guy back in the day.
To be clear, I was not as much of a Trey Lance guy as everyone wants to say I was. It was more, I thought it was ridiculous.
You didn't believe in Purdy. You
were giving the guy a chance, and I didn't believe in Purdy.
Yes.
But then you had this guy so high, and you never really got a legit chance. That's what I was always arguing about.
That I understand. Like, you know, hindsight. But at the time, that was like a very, very real debate. And like, I remember when the news came out that Sam Darnold had overtaken Trey Lance on the depth chart, like that just like rocking fantasy Twitter. We were all just like, wait, what? Like, Trey Lance is my QB5 in dynasty rankings, and now he's behind Sam Darnold and Brock Purdy. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that was a tough one.
Yeah. That's going to be a really interesting decision for the Niners, by the way, what to do with Mac Jones, because they could probably get a good return for him. But if Purdy's not, you better be dang sure you have a healthy backup. Okay, last trade. Jordan Love and Theo Johnson for CJ Stroud, the 107 and the 202. And CJ Stroud was the player I was going to bring up because holy cow, on a very, with the lights at their brightest, he really didn't show up the last couple of weeks. So Davis, is Stroud still the quarterback in Houston? And are we, and if so, do you like this trade more or less because of that?
So I prefer the Jordan Love side. And like, I really don't want to be overreactionary to CJ Stroud just falling apart in the playoffs. And, you know, I'd almost be willing to say that like, this is the time to buy CJ Stroud just because of how bad he looked in these island games. But I would still lean the Love side here. Like I'd be trying to buy low on CJ Stroud if I could, if anybody were panicking. But you know, I prefer Love in a vacuum to CJ Stroud. I have him exactly one spot ahead. I talked a little bit earlier about Theo Johnson, like very quietly. I don't think people realize how good Theo Johnson was this year. Like this is a guy that we really like coming into the league. He's got off the charts athleticism. He's got the size, the pass catching, all that sort of stuff. Didn't do much, but really came on strong last year, developed, and it wasn't just with Jackson Dart too. Like he was producing with Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. Like anytime anybody would start or play here, like he was still putting up points. So I'm going with the Love and Theo Johnson side here.
And this time I'm going to disagree with Dave, but I don't think it's majorly on one side or the other, but I lean the CJ Stroud side mainly because of the picks. Although I agree, I do like Theo Johnson a lot. What do you think is, again, I'm pulling up the TA scoring. What do you think is the difference in points per game between, and this is maybe slightly skewed because of Love's injury one game, but between CJ Stroud and Jordan Love, and 1 year isn't everything, obviously that caveat, but, I'll tell you, it was 0.8 points per game.
Yeah. I knew Love was low.
It was probably closer than most people would think. They both were up and down in the regular season. And obviously, yes, CJ Stroud has not looked at the playoffs. So I will take the 107 and the 202 and try and figure it out with CJ. Hope CJ Stroud improves or move him for something else or I don't know what. But I'll just take – I think they're close enough that I agree. In a vacuum, I'm absolutely taking Jordan Love over CJ Stroud. But I'll take the picks basically is what I'm looking at.
And Frank, if we're looking at putting a player name to that 107, Jeff Bell and I just did a mock that published today, and Casey Concepcion would be there at 107. There you go.
So I'm taking the Stroud side. Roman, who's in the chat, is going to roll his eyes. I've never been a Love fan. I just won't ever be. I think that was his best half of football he's basically ever played 2 weeks ago. And I just don't believe in the offense. I don't. And I know they're going to just continue to do the same thing where it's run first. And like Theo Johnson's worth the 202 and Stroud is awash with Love. So there's a 107 on the other side for nothing, basically. So that's my switch. And I agree with you guys. I think Stroud is, it can't get worse, right? I mean, I guess it could, but this is probably as bad as it gets. So if you're buying the trough, maybe if you get the right value, I would be buying Stroud. But that is the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Dave, for coming on. Hopefully we'll not make it 3 years before the next one. So before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, Dave Kluge over at Football Guys. You could follow me on Twitter if you like dumb jokes and silly memes. That's pretty much all I do on Twitter these days. But really, yeah, if you look at what I'm doing on Football Guys, that's where I put in my honest effort more than just the having fun on social media.
Yep. Our stuff, we have patreon.com/TreyXPod. You can watch us while we record. Most people say podcasters have faces for radio. Dave Kluge is not one of those people. So if you would like to see Dave's handsome self on camera, you can do that. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. Fantasy Cares. And as I'm reading this, I realized I didn't set my SFPL Playoff Mania roster this week. So I'm out on that. But that's going on. The Dynasty Hootenanny will be back soon. Trivia will come back. They're on hiatus for a few weeks. You probably will see Dave Kluge on that. I don't know if he knows this off-season topic.
like 3 weeks. Yeah, I'm doing a national parks episode with Joey Wright. Yeah, I'm a nature guy, so we're gonna quiz me on my national park knowledge on that.
Excellent. One. And I'm sure Joey's gonna have very fun like movie campsite names as options, which is gonna confuse everybody. And then we have the Wednesday night hangout. So I think that's it. Everyone keep donating to Randall Young's GoFundMe. That we got a good shout out last week from Jerry, who's running it. So everyone keep donating. They're over their goal, and we're gonna keep help whatever money we can get from Memphis's family is awesome. So as Rex Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy pants. Daddy's the best. See ya.